Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. It's Bud Harris here with another Panther Rants podcast. It's Wednesday, hump day, obviously. And tomorrow we got a matchup. I guess Pitt has some unfinished business. It's tomorrow at 7:30 Eastern Time, Central. If you live in the Central Time, Pitt will be at home against North Carolina, in hopes they can break the hex against North Carolina. You know, being them, but if you look at the history of Pitt, North Carolina in football, North Carolina for some reason always beats Pitt. Not sure how it happens. It just does. You know, I remember the 2000 season when Pitt, you know, people thought Pitt was going to win that game, and they just magically lost that game as well. And I don't know what it is with North Carolina. You know, we just find ways to lose to them. I mean, they own pretty much the series. And the last 3 years, obviously, haven't been great either. There's been some close games, you know. For one thing, you know, in the final year of Paul Christ, you know, we had the game where pretty much whoever had the ball last was going to score, and fortunately it was North Carolina, and it was a high-scoring game. Pitt just could not stop them. Then the next year we were at Hines, and Pitt was 6-1, and Pitt just could not get off on the right foot in that game. But by the time I did, it was too late. Then, of course, this past year, last year, obviously, Pitt lost in the final seconds, despite dominating most of the game. And Pat Narduzzi made a quote that got some people triggered, as if that word has become such a popular word these days. He said, basically, if they don't have Trubisky, they don't beat us. And people, you know, saw it as arrogance, but me, I call it as seeing it as the god-awful truth, because what happened here was, with Pitt, you know, in that final drive, Trubisky, he converted three big fourth downs. I mean, he just pulled it out of his ass, pretty much. And you just, you know, by the last conversion, you just had to laugh at yourself, because he just kept doing it. Not sure how he kept doing it, but he just did it. So that ended that. So this year, North Carolina is a little different. Well, Switzer's gone. So is Trubisky. And Trubisky obviously was the number one pick, and we can see why now after watching him. But this year for North Carolina has been a disastrous season. They're 1-8. Obviously, they lost a lot of their talent. They've had a lot of injuries this year as well. And, you know, they're just bad all around. I mean, you have people that still compare them to Pitt, and, you know, statistic-wise, people say they're no different than Pitt on defense. But Pitt's been playing a lot better on defense the last few games. But yeah, North Carolina's 1-8, and their only win they own is a win over Old Dominion. That's about it. They had some close calls. I mean, they lost by 5 to the Cal, 12 to Louisville in a shootout, lose by 10 to Duke, Georgia Tech destroyed them, so did Notre Dame, UVA beats them by 6, Virginia Tech beats them by 52 points, and they had a close call with Miami. But now they have Pitt. So this is kind of a put up or shut up game for Pat Narduzzi. Actually, the last three games for Pitt is pretty much put up or shut up, because, you know, if he wants to show us some sort of lifeline, here it is. But the game itself, Pitt should have us one. North Carolina's defense is horrible against the ground game, so Pitt should have no problem establishing the run against North Carolina. And that probably, obviously, the key thing is to do that. And they probably obviously will, because I can't see Pitt coming out and throwing the football with the passing game that we have. I mean, I mean, Ben DiNucci is doing all he can. I get that, but he, you know, that's just it. I mean, that's all he can do, really. And it doesn't make him a bad player. I mean, he's limited right now, and so really, Pitt's gonna have to stick to the ground game, unless you know Sean Watson, you know, drops some ass and decides he wants to come out throwing the football. We've seen that not with Sean Watson, but in the past, where the logical thing for Pitt was to run the ball, and they just decide to throw it instead. Like they were just so damn stubborn about it. I mean, Matt Kavanaugh, shoot, we had some pretty interesting ones with him where, you know, where the logical thing was to hand the ball to LaShawn McCoy at the goal line, and instead he would just throw a fade pass. But, North Carolina, there's not much to look at. I mean, statistically, they're no different than us. We got more wins. It's just that they suck against the run. They suck at stopping the run. The passing game has been, on offense, their passing game has been pretty lackluster, and their only bright spot really is our running game, and that's about it. So they're kind of somewhere else on the way. Yeah, they are, special on offense too. But with them, they've shuffled four quarterbacks around, whereas we've only had to shuffle, let's see, Pickett, DiNucci, and Max Brown. I don't think I missed anybody else. But I see Pitt winning this game, and this is probably a time for Pat Narduzzi. If he wants to break this hex against North Carolina, do it now. Because it may be his last win for the rest of the year, because he's got Virginia Tech and Miami after that. And those aren't going to be easy games. I thought Miami was going to be a likely win for Pitt, like, you know, a game where they would likely, you know, pull it off. But Miami just looked really good against Tech, you know, the other week. And Tech, obviously, unless Frank Beamer decides he wants to be a guest coach, that's, you know, pretty much we're screwed there as well. But, you know, obviously the hot topic came to us. And the hot topic was tarping Heinz Field. I guess people are talking about on Twitter today. And, you know, tarping makes sense because it brings everybody down to the lower bowl when it fills up. And not to mention, Heinz Field just is too big for Pitt. And, of course, when they built Heinz Field, you know, it was 65,000, I believe, or 66. And the expectation was, at the time, Pitt was going to fill that stadium because, you know, Walt Harris had, you know, the program in the right direction. 2000 just ended, and Pitt went 7-5, and they had a really, you know, really good product on the field. And of course, the next year, most of those good players were coming back, and you figured that Pitt would do something. And of course, they start out 1-5, and that was the end of that. 2002, though, Pitt actually had a decent product. They had a really good team. I mean, by the end, I mean, the stadium they filled up was the Backyard Brawl. That's the only game that they really filled it up. But, you know, the excitement was 2003, where Pitt had Larry Fitzgerald and that high-flying offense, and, you know, they were predicted to do big things that year. And, you know, people forget that year Pitt lowered its season tickets to $60, which was a great idea because people just bought them up. And, you know, you got to go watch Pitt play Kent State in front of a packed stadium. I mean, it was filled up for Kent. That's how awesome that was. And that's the, you know, and that was the dream that Pitt had at the time, you know, when, you know, Steve Peterson was there in Nordenberg. That was her dream, was to have that. And by that time, it looked like the dream was realized, you know. But unfortunately, Pitt fell flat on her face that year. They finished 8-5, didn't live up to expectations. And icing on the cake, Larry Fitzgerald had a big year. And, of course, the local writers decided to vote for Jason White instead of Larry Fitzgerald, and there was that. So, but I remember that year from, you know, pretty much, you know, it was packed for Kent State. Syracuse was packed. I think we had 55,000 for that game. But, yeah, Notre Dame. I mean, you also had Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, and Miami at home. Yeah, those three games at home. I mean, that's what made it awesome. So, I mean, you know, you had a Heinz Field was almost capacity of those games. I mean, it was great. But, yeah, Pitt fell short. 2004, it was back to the old half-empty stadium. But they went to the BCS that year, so then the next year we had the Notre Dame game, and it was packed to the brim. They were selling to a point where they were selling standing room seats. And, of course, Pitt fell flat on their faces in that game and pretty much for the rest of the season. And, you know, 2009, or they had some momentum in 2009 where the stadium, interest was starting to peak because Pitt was competing for a Big East title. Cincinnati, they fell flat, and that was that. And that, pretty much it's been the way for Pitt since, because they fired Wonstadt, or he just left or was made to quit. But, he was forced out, and then Todd Graham came in, and we had a plethora of 6-6 seasons. And that just pretty much, sums pretty much Pitt football up, the whole story with the whole, with Heinz Field. Years ago, you could have said, like a lot of people said, it didn't make sense to tarp it. It was, attainable maybe to pack the Pines again, but it really isn't now. You could probably charge, $10 for season tickets and they're not going to fill up anything. They're probably giving them the tickets away for God's sakes. It happens. With a lot of programs. I went to a few Rice football games, and Rice, staying when it was built back in the 50s, Rice was a powerhouse in the Southwest Conference. And that stadium was seated 70,000, and that's what they got for those games. It was the hottest ticket in town. But, of course, the NFL came to Houston, and that was that. And, of course, Rice, things changed for them, for their heyday. And they had a lot of mediocre football, and naturally that stadium now is, the lower bowl was closed. The upper part of the stadium is still empty, but they tarped off parts of the lower bowl, and It was a 70,000 capacity stadium. Now it's 40,000, and I believe it's probably even less now because they destroyed half of the end zone, I guess the end zone part of it, and put a practice facility. So that's that. That's pretty much sums up all what's happened with Pitt's attending woes. Would it make sense to tarp it? Sure. Of course, you're going to have fans, they're going to bitch up in the upper level because they have to move down. And the upper level actually isn't that bad because you got a good view of what's going on. That's what's great about being up in Peanut Heaven is you get to see how the plays break down, how all breaks out. So obviously you're going to miss that, but it just is what it is. Hopefully they can do something for these guys. Maybe give them a free Big Mac, for every game, Just get hey, sorry, we got to, yank your season tickets from you from the upper deck, but here, you get a Big Mac every game. Yeah, let's do that. No, a free Big Mac and a free Coke. Free Coke at the games. It depends what kind of Coke. It's the soft drink or a few lines. It depends on, how the season's going. But obviously, as we move on, we got a nice weekend of college football here. Obviously we got Pitt, North Carolina tomorrow, where Pitt tries to get their quest for another bowl game. But Friday we got Pac-12, and the games, depends on where you're at. It'll be 9:30 my time, 10:30 for Eastern, but you can't really call Pac-12 after dark. But Washington, ninth ranked, will be at Stanford. Stanford, they're 6-3. 5-2 in the Pac-12. They're not ranked for whatever reason. And they got Washington, who's 8-1, 5-1. So, they're ninth ranked, Washington. So, not sure if they'll make the college football playoff because nobody likes Pac-12 for some reason. And, of course, we had a Pac-12 team in there last year. And, we saw what happened. They got destroyed. So, it'll probably be more of the same. So that starts off. Then Saturday we got 12th ranked Michigan State and 13th ranked Ohio State. This game's at Ohio State, so I wouldn't be surprised if this game goes to the Buckeyes because Michigan State's had their run-ins with Ohio State. They've beat them on some occasions, but in the Big Ten they seem to love Ohio State and they probably are holding out hope that if they can beat Michigan and jump back into the top 10. Who knows? But if you're a Penn State fan, you got Rutgers this week. So pretty much after going through losing to two tough opponents, you get Rutgers. So, Penn State should pretty much win that game easily because Rutgers is bad. I mean, they're 4-5, 3-3 in Big Ten, obviously. So, I mean, they're showing some improvement, but they're obviously not the Jersey Power Rutgers we remember. Speaking of that, whatever happened to Rutgers Al? He was so good on those message boards with his postings and liking Rutgers to the 1985 Chicago Bears. And what I don't know what happened to him. If you're in the Big 12, obviously, you got a nice game with Oklahoma State and Iowa State. And, you know, Iowa State lost a disappointing game to West Virginia, which pretty much hurt their chances of contending for the Big 12. Although the game's pretty much in Oklahoma's, you know, bag, to say the least. You know, as we scan down, Virginia Tech's got Georgia Tech this week, which should be an obviously decent game. Georgia Tech's been kind of a disappointment this year. I think they should have more wins than what they have, and they just lost some disappointing games. I had to pause this for a second because a guy and his leaf blower came by in our complex. There's nothing more when you live in an apartment that angers you more than when you put your child to sleep, and a guy in a leaf blower comes by and ruins everything for you. Whatever you were doing and had hopes of doing, it gets ruined at one loud hiss. Obviously, the game in the SEC is number one Georgia and 10th-ranked Auburn. And here we're going to find a lot about Georgia now because Auburn, they're 5-1 in the SEC, and Georgia 6-0. It's going to be a tough game. I haven't really bought into Georgia yet. Because it seems like they really haven't. Well, they actually beat Notre Dame barely. So I can't really say they haven't played anybody. But it's hard for me to buy into them yet. But they're 9-0, so I guess I should buy. But obviously, that's the big matchup there. Auburn's 10th ranked. And then ACC, Florida State and Clemson, and that used to be an attractive game, but Florida State's bad this year, and Clemson should have an easy one there. One big game here for the Big Ten, you got Iowa, 20th ranked against Wisconsin. This could be a tough game for Wisconsin because Iowa's played some better competition, and they've played them tough. So, I mean, this is gonna be an old fashioned slugfest between these two teams. So if you like power football and tough defense, this is going to be a game you're going to love. If you love fullbacks, tight ends, whatever else, blocking combinations, yep, here. So for this week, I mean, there's a ton of games this week. I mean, a lot of them are early games, obviously. Most of those games I went through the list for you guys. Most of those games are early in the day, and others are like 3:00. But obviously tonight, you know, Saturday night we're spoiled, absolutely spoiled, because it's 7:00 Central Time or 8:00 Central Time. You got two football games going. You got Notre Dame and Miami, a sequel of Catholics versus Convicts, and then you got 6th-ranked TCU at 5th-ranked Oklahoma. Two really good games. And both of these games obviously are going to determine what happens next in the college football playoff of four. Because Miami's 7th ranked, Notre Dame's 3. And obviously Notre Dame will have a lot to lose if they lose this game. They'll drop out. TCU and Oklahoma. This game is pretty much going to determine who goes to the college football playoff. Although there is a twist though with the Big 12, there is a championship game this year, so these two could possibly face each other off again. You never know. I mean, two big games there. I mean, I think Notre Dame's going to take care of Miami. I believe Miami's run is going to come to an end. I mean, they've had a heck of a run this year. I just don't think they have it to keep up with Notre Dame. But it'll be a good game. TCU and Oklahoma, I think it's going to go to Oklahoma. They're the flavor of the month. They love Baker Mayfield, and people love Oklahoma. So I see the same result there. But anyways, I'm going to wrap this up. you all enjoy a nice weekend of college football. It's going to be a great one. We got Pitt tomorrow, and then we got the whole time to enjoy it. So how to Pitt. Bye.